Okay, so there have been times, I'm very aware, there have been times when your knee-jerk reaction to that question would simply be, many of you, that there have been times when the knee-jerk predominant majority response in the crowd would be, going to lunch. Woo, yeah. Some of you are like, yeah, that was my answer today, yeah. How many of you, that was your answer? Going to lunch. Okay, a few of you. But now here's the deal. Many, many more of us in current times right now, bunch of you who would do very different. I know a number of you who would immediately, right off the top, because of how things are framed for you and priorities, you would say, okay, $100, $10 for God as a tithe, okay? And then 10 or 20 bucks towards savings. Some of you are chuckling at that one, right? Okay, but go with it, because some of you would do that, I know it. And then some of you would say, okay, and the other 70 or 80 right now, in light of pressing costs, it's gonna go toward groceries or that car repair or the doctor bill or your kid's summer camp registration or a fresh dozen eggs or something like that, right? Times are tight. And every extra can help, right? We live in tumultuous, fear-filled times, for sure. Why? Why? Well, it's certainly not all the Republicans' fault, or the Democrats, or whoever else we'd like to blame. We're all in this. We are all consumers, all of us. And so we all carry responsibility. Today we launch a four-part series that's called Bless. And it's built on this foundational premise, bless. We are blessed to bless others. We are blessed to bless others. Now, today is the launch, and then we're gonna have three more special Sundays scattered across 2025. So this isn't a next week consecutive series. This is gonna be scattered across the year for us, bless. And all of it is aiming to help us grow more ready to bless the Lord in whole life worship and to bless his kingdom work with all we are, with all that God's given us. I want to toss you some really good news, and I've got three friends who are going to come and help me right now toss this really good news, some foundational Bible concepts your way. I've asked a few friends to help me out. Taryn and Dalton and Genevieve are coming. Will you welcome them as they come? Let's welcome them. Now, they're going to share, each of them, foundational verses that really kind of set the stage and build the foundation for our hearts in this series. And we're going to start with this psalm, and then, Taryn's going to read for us, and then I'll make a comment, and then Dalton's going to get the mic, and he'll read one. I'll make a little quick comment, and then Genevieve's going to wrap it up for us with these foundational building blocks of understanding right now. Okay? So you want to read the first one?
Yep. Psalm 49, 5 through 6, NIV. Why should I fear when evil days come, when wicked deceivers surround me, those who trust in their wealth and boast of their great riches?
Okay, thank you, Tara. Now, here's the deal with this. This is a leading question, right? It's a leading question that draws out a confident answer. No reason. Why should I fear? No reason to fear. Why? Because the bigger context for the psalmist is how faithful God has been. The bigger context is there's really, in troubling times like he describes right here, like we're in right now, there's no reason actually to fear. Why? Because God has been faithful again and again. All right, Dalton's going to read for us Psalm 112, 1 through 5. Well, it's an interesting legacy song. Go ahead.
Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. Their children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright. for those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous. Good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice.
Okay, big thanks, Dalton. Now, this is a legacy psalm, which means it involves generation to generation. And it's actually, did you catch it? It's spotlighting the good that healthy wealth can actually leverage, especially when joined up with a generous heart, with someone who's open, not a scarcity mentality, but an open heart to give and to lend freely. An incredible song. Okay, here's the third one. Acts 20, 32 through 35. Genevieve's going to read for us when Paul was about to leave the Ephesian leaders. He had been in on helping the church get started there in Ephesus. Listen to what he says to them.
Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we can help the weak. Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.
It is more blessed to give than to receive. Thank you three for sharing with us. Thanks a whole bunch. Really appreciate it. We join me in thanking them. Thank you. So good. So what if I told you that right now is actually a fantastic time financially? Yeah, you're giving me that look like, oh, geez, really? Come on. Yeah, it is, actually, truly. Truly. Why? Well, because typically God grows our faith amidst fearful and tumultuous finances. Typically, God does that. He grows our faith in the midst of fearful and tumultuous finances. Our own family has seen this over and over again across the decades. Our immediate family, Nance and I and our sons, we've seen this. We have been living through a decade of kids in college. Anybody else live through that? Do you survive? Do you survive? Yes? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Some of you are with us right now in that. You know, it can feel very harrowing. The Apostle Paul knew about such times. And he held tight. He held tight to this Jesus quote right here. Now, here's what's intriguing about this. This Jesus quote, it's more blessed to give than to receive. It doesn't show up anywhere in the Gospels, none of his teaching segments, nowhere found there, which means this was so standout to the early disciples and the early Christian church, it just jumped out and became part of the rhythms of what they knew to be true off of King Jesus' lips. And of course, Paul remembers it readily, and it just makes sense it comes from King Jesus because he was the king of upside down living. He was the king of how to flip the script, how to do it different, how to dare to live. Totally different way. That's Jesus. For personal flourishing, for our personal flourishing, we need to discover better blessing stories that remind us we are blessed to bless others. We are blessed to bless others. In just a minute, we're going to see a stunning, truly stunning blessing story. You may have seen it before. You may have never seen it before. We're going to consider it. But first, I want you to ponder with me a bit more of why this is so vital for us right now. Why this is so vital for us right now. If all you do is doom scroll the news on your phone, or you watch news first thing in the morning or last thing before you go to bed at night, you will end up with horror stories playing in your psyche right now, right? I've had to realize in the past few weeks that I was being played. Getting sucked into the trap, truly. See, I was surfing all the biggie media outlets under the guise that I should be more informed. Catch the day's political and economic news for the 30 to 45 minutes right before heading to bed. Now, you're giving me that look like, Pletcher, we thought you were smarter than that. Apparently not. And in the last couple of weeks, I've realized, wait a minute, I was being played. I was letting myself get sucked in. As a result, what? Well, instead of wrapping up my day with calm confidence and hope and peace, I was growing tense and topsy-turvy before needing to sleep. Mainstream media streams news stories telling us this, be afraid, be very, very afraid, that you don't have enough. Protect yourself. You need this or that in order to really be happy. So what? Amazon Prime, come on, woo! Every other day, Target run. Or flip it around in our hearts and minds, and what happens? We say, gotta scrimp, gotta scrape, squeeze tight all you have. Why? Apocalyptic doomsday is coming. Here's why we need a story like the one we're going to see today. It's a very old, early scene in the story of faith. In fact, it comes from the original father of faith, his story. A man named Abram, his name was eventually changed to Abraham. You probably know him as Abraham. The father of many, that's what his name literally means. We first meet him in Genesis 11 and 12. So I'm going to invite you there in your copy of the scriptures today, there on your device or Bible from the seat back in front of you. Go ahead and grab it. Genesis 11 and 12, we meet him and his wife, Sarai. Her name is then changed to Sarah. And God called them to leave Ur of the Chaldeans in ancient Mesopotamia. Genesis 12, 1 through 3, look what it says. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you, and I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. Abram is called to action. He's called to action. His old country Ur was riddled with the worship of sun, moon, and stars, plus all manner of pagan practices. God called this man and his clan into new territory with new priorities, new worship focus, and fresh, good momentum. God promised his blessings of land, family, and global influence. Notice the end goal is not blessing that makes Abram uber prosperous. Not some always be healthy, always live it up wealthy. Not some kind of divine pyramid scheme. No. See, it was true all the way back then, still true today. We are blessed to bless others. We are blessed to bless others. Trajectory, God's blessing would flow to obedient, trust-motivated Abram, and that blessing will go flowing through him to people everywhere, not just his tribe. This meant Abram and Sarai played the long game. Spoiler alert, this long game of faith would ultimately bring us Jesus. Son of God, Savior of the world, yes, Jesus and his saving work on the cross and his victory over the grave, over your sin, over your death, bringing ultimate victory, ultimate blessing in the person of Jesus. Truly, Abraham was blessed, blessing others, that led to Jesus, then blessing us. Gang, think about it. You are sitting here today. You are considering the journey of faith. You are growing on that journey. Wherever you are on that journey of faith, you are here today. You are growing in that journey of faith because this man, Abram, stepped into the faith adventure and dared to trust. And still today, because we're blessed like that through Jesus, we then turn around, we're so blessed, we then bless others. All the in-between stories of God's people, Abraham's descendants, show us threads of historical blessing and big influence. Abram and company got moving. They got moving in follow-through action. Next verses in Genesis 12 reveal that he was a wealthy Bedouin, a successful, very successful agrarian business person of his day. That was big business, absolutely. Rest of chapters 12 and 13 set us up for a big war. A war of kings, tumultuous, frightening days in chapter 14 where life and wealth are on the line. And it's even, when you dive into the description, it's even one of those scenes that, I mean, there's stuff like you'd watch today in a major motion picture, epic film. There's tar pits that can swallow up soldiers. I mean, it's just graphic lines. Treacherous, tumultuous, frightening days. Life and wealth are on the line. In the midst of it, Abram's nephew Lot, his family, and all their possessions were captured. When Abram caught word, he and 318 trained warriors, I love some of the specifics in the Bible's narrative, 318, just to be specific, trained warriors, did battle with these kings and their armies that had captured his extended family and goods, and in the face of these frightening times, they were victorious. Genesis 14, 16 reports it like this. Abram recovered all the goods that had been taken, and he brought back his nephew Lot with his possessions and all the women and other captives. After the victory, the king of Sodom and the king of Salem, Melchizedek, came out to greet Abraham. Melchizedek. Try that name with me. Go ahead. Let's say it aloud together. Ready? One, two, three. Melchizedek. Try it one more time. Melchizedek. Any of you are expecting a baby or grandparents? What a name. Try that one. Think about using that one. You know? Call him Melky for short, or Zed or something like that. Melchizedek. His name actually means king of righteousness. And he was this king out of this area known, we translated as Salem today, but it's actually the same roots as the old Hebrew term shalom or peace. So he's king of peace, king of righteousness. And we're also told that he's a priest of El Elyon. El Elyon, divine name, God Most High. God Most High. Melchizedek is indeed a mysterious character. And several later texts in God's word and biblical texts connect him to Christ Jesus, King Jesus. Many deep divers in God's word see him as a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus. His words to Abram are rich with significance. Look at verses 19 and 20. Melchizedek blessed Abram with this blessing. Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has defeated your enemies for you. This immediately ushers us into a zone of worship, ultimately bringing Abram and these victorious warriors into this worship of El Elyon, God Most High, spotlighting his provision, spotlighting his work on their behalf. We see the blessing language. You notice it? The blessing language again. Pause to consider. What does bless really mean? To this man, Abraham, who was told by God multiple times, look up, look at the stars. That will be your children, if you could count the stars. Consider the sand on the seashore. That will be the reach of your influence. Wow. What does this kind of blessing mean? Well, pause to consider it. It's way more than a good response to a sneeze. It's a really big buzzword in our current culture, right? Bless. You can find it all over today. Good wishes on plaques and bric-a-brac for at your house. And half the Hobby Lobby industry seems to rely on the word. What's it really mean? Well, in the Bible, a blessing is divine favor. Favor from God, divine favor. Gifts that bring joyous grace, faithful mercy, deeper sense of God's loving, peaceful presence. So yes, it's very foundational, spiritual. And it can manifest in various forms, including such spiritual blessings as salvation, forgiveness of our sins, yes, and peace. Peace with God that we cannot produce on our own. Blessing. Deeply spiritual. Yes, it's material as well. Material blessings, provision and abundance, family blessings, nurturing relationships, and yes, children, health blessings, healing and well-being. There are times in the scriptures when healing and well-being are spoken of as the blessing of the Lord. There are also fortitude blessings, resilience and strength in the face of sufferings, even at times when it doesn't feel like a blessing initially. The resilience, the deeper growth, the peace, recognizing God's faithfulness. At times, it is indeed the blessing of flourishing in work and career. So yes, success and financial prosperity, blessings can be invoked or sought through prayer and faith. It's vital to note how holistic and multifaceted this is. Do you catch it? Blessing has this multifaceted, holistic nature to it for our lives, for our families, for our neighborhoods, for our world. Blessing. Blessing can be about the material stuff, absolutely true, but it's not all about stuff like wealth and goodies, as great as those seem. Often bigger blessings emerge out of tragic fear, like Abram and his family were facing, their situation. At times, out of serious loss, severe trials and tribulations can lead to blessing. Crises can actually be the springboard for blessings in our lives. See, it's here, it's right here, that God meets us and pours out better growth, bigger vision of his goodness, a deeper confidence in who he is, how faithful he is, how true his promises are. It's right there. Right there. Note how this mysterious kingly priest Melchizedek blesses both Abram and the Lord God, recognizing God as most high, over all, all-powerful, all-controlling, all-providing, all-victorious. God has the source of all the rescue work and all the abundance. And so, yes, Abram and company went to battle. They indeed went to battle. It was a real battle. But God gave them the blessing of victory. But now look at Abram's iconic response. Verse 20. Then Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth of all the goods he had recovered. Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth of all the goods he had recovered. In verses to follow, more unfolds as Abram insists on being abundantly generous. Across these verses, we see all-out recognition that the Lord God is the source of all supply. And we see this heartfelt response. This isn't just a financial transaction. This is a worship service. This is all out praise. This is all out recognition, even as he gives a tithe. We see it right here in his heartfelt response, the linkage between blessing and tithing. The linkage between blessing and tithing. Very good spot. Very good spot for us to pause and ask, does my faith look like Abram's faith? Does your faith look like Father Abraham's faith? In response to God's blessing, let's give more faithfully, tithing, trusting God, intentionally blessing God and blessing others. Watch this. Take a look. Do I trust God's promises? Do I truly trust God's promises? We are blessed to bless others. We're going to unpack more about tithing at various times across this series this year. It's a vibrant training tool for our souls. It's very good for us. For now, suffice to say that Abraham's story shows us how blessing links with tithing. Now, for lots of people, let's just be honest. This is a stretch. Ooh, a hard call. A lot like giving blood if you're scared of needles. Or public speaking if that's not your jam. Or skydiving if you're struck by acrophobia. Or needing to annihilate a spider if you have arachnophobia. Truth is, many of us are struck by tithophobia. 10%. Give to God. Oh, give him more. Oh, yipes. Some of you may be saying, you don't know. You just, everything is so tight and so thin and so skinny financially. It's so scary. And if right now you're saying, there's just no way I could even open the conversation. Well, listen to the $100 bill guy, Ben Franklin. Listen to Ben about generosity. All those years ago, he said this, a man is sometimes more generous when he has but a little money than when he has plenty, perhaps through fear of being thought to have but little. You gotta love Ben Franklin, great wit. Blessing God and others with tithing is biblical. Blessing God with tithing is biblical, truly. We see Abraham's example, and we see it woven into other characters across the sacred pages as well as the Mosaic Law. In the wrap-up of the Old Testament, we see God say this through Malachi, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple." Malachi says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, look what he says, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. God says that to his people. Note the link again between tithing and blessing. Also note God's challenge. Try it. Test me. Now, If you're eager to say, lots of people right about now are eager to say this. Okay, but that's Old Testament law, and we don't need to do that. We live under the new, John. So, hey, come on. We live the new. And that's true. We live the new. And actually, Jesus assumed that you and I would tithe. He assumed that his followers would live in this foundational way that we tithe plus. So look at what he said to a rascally group that was constantly after him. Matthew 23:23, he said this: "What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites." Strong, strong words from Jesus. Strong words. He said, "For you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith." And then note what he says: "You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things." He's saying, listen, tithe, yes, plus get focused on what humongously matters. Notice justice, mercy, and faith. Those are important, important words for the days in which we're living right now. Important call from Jesus. Blessing by tithing is Christ-like. Blessing by tithing is biblical. Blessing by tithing is Christ-like. It's like Jesus. Brings us back again to what Paul says in Acts 20 and verse 35. We heard it read earlier. "And I've been a constant example." Paul says, "I've been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus: it is more blessed to give than to receive." So let's rewrite. Let's rewrite our stories. Instead of doom, gloom, and a scarcity mentality, live knowing that you are blessed by God to bless others. So how do you start that adventure? How do you start that? Well, first, train your heart with bigger trust. Let this be like training wheels on the bike. And that's really Jesus' point. Is tithing is like training wheels. It gets you going. It gives you some stability to get going and living a generous, overflowing life. Train your heart with bigger trust. Confident in where it all comes from. Elyon, God Most High, the Lord Most High. Cultivating an abundance outlook toward God and others. That's why the father of faith, Abram, could take this bold, gutsy move and tithe. Bigger trust. Train your heart with bigger trust. Train your heart with tithing. Plus, more gracious giving. Take the challenge. Take the challenge. It's good for you. It's God's gift to us to actually step obediently into being more biblical, being more Christ-like. Train your heart with tithing plus more gracious giving, and train your heart with calmer confidence and contentment. Calmer confidence and contentment. Part two in this series, we're going to explore that blessing of contentment. So several weeks from now, we're going to dive into that piece. We are blessed to bless others. And it's God's gift. It's God's gift to us, truly. Watch this.